We'll begin with a prayer. The Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now and strengthen our faith in our Savior and give us the comfort, tremendous comfort that you would have us receive here in the verses which we're about to study, you know, the single verse we're about to study. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin by welcoming those who are worshiping with us live by the speaker phones, and also those who will be receiving CDs of the sermons in the coming weeks. A service this morning is coming from the home of one of our children here in Delano, Minnesota. We're glad to be back to the Gopher State again. It's beautiful out here. And we'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with us here to that water of life, to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verse 18. Much of this verse we've already covered in the previous chapters and verses of Hebrews, but there's one thought here that sticks out greatly. In the King James Version, the verse reads this way, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Three words, fled for refuge. And to the Hebrew people, these are the words that would literally jump out when the Holy Spirit wrote verse 18 of chapter 6 in the book of Hebrews. They refer to the six cities of refuge. These six cities of refuge were one of the most amazing types of Jesus Christ in the whole Old Testament. We're going to be looking at them a little bit today. There are different players that will come in on stage. First of all, you have a person who has murdered or killed another person in a tragic accident, but that's what it was, an accident. You have an avenger looking at it from the human side, probably a relative of the person who was killed. Could have also been a representative of the government. In a spiritual way, it could certainly be the devil. And you have cities of refuge, six of them, where the one who killed the other person unintentionally can flee for safety. And then you have a high priest whose death is the one that really frees the person who did the killing from prison, as it were. We'll look at the details here. The cities of refuge are described for us in three places in the Old Testament: Numbers 35, Deuteronomy 19, and Joshua chapter 20. And we're going to be culling different instructive things from these chapters, looking at all of them. There were six cities of refuge. This is important. Six in the Bible is the number of man. Adam was created on the sixth day. And the cities of refuge were made available to anyone who killed somebody unintentionally. It didn't make any difference whether you were children of Israel or a stranger or a sojourner. The cities of refuge were open to everybody. Now, we can't help here but think of the beautiful John 3:16, for God so loved the world, not just the Jewish people. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And then the invitation of the Savior, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The location of these six cities is extremely important. They were strategically located throughout the land. There were three of them that were located on the west side of the Jordan River, and there were three of them that were located on the east side of the Jordan River. The cities of refuge on the west side of Jordan were these: Kadesh, in Mount Naphtali in Galilee. Notice it was in a mountain. That's important. Ramoth, on the next one, Shechem in Mount Ephraim. Another one in a mountain. That's important. Kirjatharba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. Another one in the mountain. That's important. The cities on the east of Jordan were Bezer, which was located in the wilderness. Very often in the Holy Land, the wilderness was not a flat desert type thing. It was very mountainous also. And it's in the tribe of Reuben. Another one was Ramoth in Gilead in the tribe of Gad. This is also very hilly country. And Golan in Bashan in the tribe of Manasseh. Now, recently, we've seen pictures of the Golan Heights, a very high land also. I can't vouch for what I'm going to read here, but from what I have read, it has been calculated that the distance from one city to another would be about 70 miles. And that this would mean that no matter where a person was located in the Holy Land, you would only be about 35 miles from one of these cities of refuge. That's important. The cities of refuge were built on mountains or high hills. We think of the passage, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. These cities were plainly visible. There were roads that were maintained every year to make travel there as easy as possible. This was all very important to a person who was fleeing for his life. And his life depended upon reaching one of these cities before the avenger took a vengeance and killed him. It was very important. This is for starters. Now let's look at some of the details. I'm in Numbers chapter 35. Most of the material of the refuge city is in the chapter 35 of Numbers. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person unawares. The word unawares means by accident. It was not a planned thing. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger. The avenger, as we've mentioned, could be any number of people. More than likely, it would be a relative of the person who was accidentally killed. And he was upset at the person that did this and would want to take vengeance on him. And so this is a refuge from the avenger. These six cities are refuges. That the manslayer die not. Now this is important. Until he stand before the congregation in judgment. So the person that fled to one of these six cities of refuge wasn't free automatically. He had to go through a trial. And if he was declared innocent, then the city of refuge was a place of safety for him. If he was determined guilty, he got killed by the avenger. Just being in the city itself didn't mean anything for him. I'm going to read one more verse, Numbers 35:13. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares, unintentionally, may flee there. Now, these cities of refuge were a type of Jesus Christ. And an important detail here is this, that this was not a license for people to kill anybody. You couldn't say, well, I hate this guy, I'm going to kill him, and then I'm going to run to the city of refuge and be safe. It didn't work that way. The spiritual meaning here would be that Jesus Christ didn't die for us in our sins so we can keep on sinning anytime we want. He died to save us from our sins. That it wasn't a license to kill is mentioned in Numbers chapter 35. I'm going to mean to verse 16. Some examples. If he smite him with an instrument of iron, he's got an iron axe. So if somebody comes up and clubs somebody with an iron axe so that he die, he's a murderer. You can't say that was by accident. The murderer shall surely be put to death. If he smite him with throwing a stone, like David did Goliath. David wanted to kill Goliath. Well, somebody here is taking a stone and heave it at somebody that you hate. And he hits him in the head wherewith he may die, and he dies. The person that threw the stone, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he smite him with a weapon of wood, a bow and arrow, maybe, that powders it, wherewith he shall die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. So this wasn't a license to sin. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer. Probably in most cases a relative. When he meets him, he shall slay him. There was a trial that was set up also. I'm in Deuteronomy 19, verse 11 and following. But if any man hate his neighbor, now we're talking about premeditated murder here. He hates his neighbor, he lie in wait for him and rise up against him and smite him mortally that he die, and he flees to one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send and fetch him thence and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood that he may die. Thine eye shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee. Now the trial. Now we're talking about an innocent person. The one who killed somebody accidentally. No premeditation here. Didn't hate him. It just happened. Numbers 35, 24 and 25. Then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood. So you've got the slayer, who's kind of a prosecuting attorney, and you've got the innocent one. And they'll judge between them according to these judgments, and the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of refuge whither he was fled. So the trial determined that he was innocent. He hadn't premeditated murder. He went to the city. Now listen to this detail. He shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest. He had to stay in that city of refuge until the high priest died, which was anointed with the holy oil. That's important. Okay, a scenario. You know, this must have happened quite a bit because there were six cities. Imagine this scenario. A man gets up early in the morning to go to work. Gives his wife a hug and a kiss. Gives his children hugs and kisses. Says goodbye to them and goes off to work. During the day, somehow or other, a tragic accident occurs. And the man who was involved in it, the one who accidentally murdered somebody, now has to flee. And he doesn't have time to go back home and say goodbye to his wife and children. He doesn't have time to go home and pack. He has to go as fast as he can to one of these cities of refuge because there are avengers out that want to take his life. There were witnesses to this. There were relatives of the one that was killed, and they want vengeance. This guy has to flee immediately, and he has to go as fast as he can to one of these cities of refuge. The avenger is going to probably be pursuing him. If this man stops to rest, he's going to be killed. Think of how his life changed in one split second. And in this case, it really wasn't his fault. Something happened. It was an accident. Didn't want to do it, but his whole life changed. He can't even say goodbye to his wife and children. He went away from work that day to go to work. He never came back home. Now he's in one of these cities of refuge. This is kind of unsettling, isn't it? But at least he's safe there. Listen to Deuteronomy 19, verses 4 to 6. The point, I think the main point of this is the urgency of it. The man fled for refuge. He didn't walk. He fled. I'm in Deuteronomy 19, verses 4, 5, and 6. This is the case of the slayer which shall flee there that he may live. Whoever killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he had not hated in the past, as when a man, now here's an example, as when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood. See, some guy's going out with his neighbor to cut wood. And his hand fetches a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree. Well, what that means is he's got an axe, and he brings it back. He's got to take a swipe at this tree. And when he brings the axe back, the axe head slips from the handle, the helve, and it flies through the air and smashes somebody in the head. It lighteth upon his neighbor. It lit upon him, all right, that he die. A pure accident could happen to anybody, and evidently it did. What does the guy do that had the axe that ended up killing it? He flees as fast as he can go, and he'd better. He shall flee unto one of those cities and live, lest the avenger of blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot and overtake him. He's going to be following him. And overtake him because the way is long. Probably 35 miles. You don't have time to mess around here. And slay him, whereas he was not worthy of death, inasmuch as he hated him not in time past. Okay, so let's say that the man does get to the city of refuge before the avenger does. Okay, now he's safe. He's still got this trial ahead of him. He's safe. But even if he passes the trial, Numbers 35:26-28, if the slayer shall at any time, now this is the one that kills somebody by accident, he's living in the city of refuge, if the slayer shall at any time come out of the border of the city of his refuge wherein he was fled, in other words, if he leaves the city, and the revenger of blood finds him outside the borders of the city of refuge, the revenger of blood shall kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. Or Joshua 20, verse 6, he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment and until the death of the high priest. Isn't this a beautiful, beautiful picture of Christ? You know, this city of refuge was a prison. It was a prison for this guy. He couldn't get out of it until the high priest died. And then he was set free. And then the slayer shall return after the death of the high priest and come to his own city, to his own house, and the city from which he fled. So, okay, a person kills somebody by accident, flees to one of these cities of refuge, and he's safe, but he's supposed to stay there. He leaves the city of refuge, maybe only for an hour. And when he's outside the walls of the city, the avenger finds him and kills him. An illustration of this is something we've already studied in detail, and it's the most serious warning that we have in all of Scripture, in my opinion. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4, 5, and 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, let's put it this way, if they leave their city of refuge, which is what they did, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. So they had to stay in that city. A few thoughts now to kind of try and put a bow around this and wrap it up. The fact that there were six cities of refuge is extremely important, because six is the number of man, and Jesus Christ is the perfect man. He is the perfect one who has kept God's law the way all of us were supposed to do it. The location, these cities were all on heights. You could see them by night or by day. You couldn't miss them. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. The one who killed somebody by accident was supposed to flee there as fast as he could. We think of Isaiah 55, verse 6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him when he is near." Or Proverbs 8, 17, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." And then you've got the avenger, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Now, there are a number of parallels between Jesus Christ and these cities of refuge, and you can look into those. It's a beautiful, beautiful study to do. There are also some shocking contrasts, because, you know, the anti-type, or the one that the type points to, is always greater than the type. Every type in the Old Testament that pointed to Christ is lesser than Jesus Christ himself. What are some of the things here that show contrast? Well, the city of refuge was only a city of refuge for the one who had sinned unintentionally. We have all sinned intentionally. When Adam fell into sin, it wasn't an accident. He did it because he wanted to. And Jesus Christ is a city for every one of us, a city of refuge for every one of us. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." So we're all invited to come, not just the ones who were somewhat innocent. The manslayer in the city was safe, but his refuge was a prison. He couldn't leave the city. This very opposite case with those that come to Jesus Christ. He's not a prison for us. He gives us freedom. "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." We think of Isaiah 61, opening verses. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty," that's freedom, "to the captives, and opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, and oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Another contrast, when the slayer fled to the city of refuge, he left behind his whole inheritance. He lost everything. He lost the house that he owned. He lost the ground that he owned. He lost his wife and his children. He couldn't be with them anymore. Had to go to the city of refuge. When we come to Christ, he gives us an inheritance. The death that this innocent person was involved in robbed him of his inheritance, and for us, death enters us into our inheritance. It's completely the opposite thing. Peter says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." The key person, oddly enough, in this whole situation was the high priest. And it was the death of the high priest that freed the man who was living in the city of refuge. It allowed him to go back to his inheritance. The key thought I want to leave you with this morning with these cities of refuge is this. There's an urgency about this. Every day there's an urgency about this. We can't delay. It's a total commitment, and we need everything we got to get there. That's the point. We'll close with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you strengthen our faith in our Savior this morning and give us the comfort of knowing that he is the anti-type of the six cities of refuge where the sinner can flee to find safety. Give us also the urgency, which you've pointed out to us over and over and over again so far in the book of Hebrews, that time is of an essence. We can't delay. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And by your grace and love and mercy, allow us to flee to Jesus Christ every day. Meditate upon his word by day and by night. Give it an all-out effort. and remain in him until the final glorious resurrection day. And now in preparation for the Lord's Supper, we'll sing the words in the bottom of the Lutheran hymnal, page 22.